Simran Kaur is with us now. She's the co-host of the Core, I beg your pardon, she's the co-host of the podcast Girls That Invest. This discussion is of a general nature and does not constitute financial advice. Simran, a lot of people are looking at what happened with some of the second tier banks in the United States and then what happened with Credit Suisse and a little bit of nervousness around Deutsche Bank as well. And there are some nerves. I know you've delved quite deeply into SVB, which interestingly I think has just been bought this week. What are the implications, mm-hmm. if any, for investors here?
I think a lot of investors are kind of worried off the back of what this means for them. You know, we have a lot of concern, whether it's factual or based off facts or not, of is this going to be a repeat of 2008, the global financial crisis? There was a huge drop in the market. Investors lost a lot of money. But I think it's very important to look at the facts. And in all honesty, what we should be doing as investors in New Zealand is just holding the line. I don't think it, you know, really needs us to be as panicked as we may feel like we should.
Well, panic is an important word when it comes to bank wobbles, Simran, because runs on banks, investors panicking and trying to get their funds or even their deposits out of banks is exactly what contagion is. And one interesting observation, I know you're going to tell me a bit more about the research you've done, but one interesting observation when we were discussing this a couple of weeks ago is the speed and ease with which bank runs can happen now. You don't have to go and queue up outside the bank or queue up outside the FPOS machine. And it means that the likes of central banks and others need to be ever more sensitive to the stability side of their responsibilities.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good point. You know, we live in a different time where there is things that we can do faster, but I think it also means that there's information that we can receive much quicker. And I think that's, you know, it's there's two sides to the same coin here, but it means we can also get correct information quickly and then not panic because we didn't hear, you know, our uncle's friend or a colleague say, hey, look, the banks are collapsing. Let's run and pull our money out. I think there's more, you know, well-rounded information that we can act on and go, okay, it's not the end of the world. I don't have to panic.
Can you go on further and explain the reasons for that conclusion a little bit, perhaps a little bit more about what happened with SVB and what led to its needing to first have its deposits guaranteed and then the purchase?
Yeah, so in very simple terms, for those that may not know what SVB is, it's Silicon Valley Bank. It's a bank based in California. And what they're primarily used for is when technology companies get venture capital funding. So they say, hey, I'm going to be the next Uber. And a venture capital fund goes, awesome, here's some cash for you to grow that. They then often put that money into SVB Bank. So on one hand, they're very highly exposed to these very small, very volatile, but highly funded companies. And they had two things go wrong. One was that they had decided to invest very heavily in bonds during a time when interest rates were low. They did not factor in, I mean, I don't think anyone could have predicted, but they didn't factor in the fact that bonds are actually not going to be worth a lot when interest rates rise so quickly. So they've made quite a loss on that. So that's sort of one negative. And then as investors of these very large companies have sort of dried up providing more funding, these tech companies have gone, okay, I still have to pay my rent for this large office. I still have to pay all the salaries of these employees. I still have loans that I have to be paying off. So they're pulling out more and more money from SVB. Couple that with the fear of, wait, this bank is seeming a little bit shaky. There's things that are going on. They didn't have a chief risk officer for quite a while in 2022. And so suddenly out of fear and initially out of necessity, more and more money was being pulled out. And then you've got a bit of a rug pull on deposits, which eventually led to what we're seeing today.
What are some of the questions that you've had from people about it? One version that I've seen is that SVB collapsed because it was too woke.
Yes, I've seen that as well. And that is the funniest thing. There was some sort of discourse, you could say, around people saying, well, look, that bank spent a whole month focused on Pride Month, which had just come and gone. They have donated to, Black Lives Matter movements, and their determination to be a diverse and inclusive company has mean that they've put funds or funding towards things that are quote unquote not important, and hence why the bank has collapsed. And I honestly think that is the, in my opinion, the funniest theory I have personally heard. Companies that have high ESG ratings, a high, environmental social governance ratings, high diversity, high levels of different kinds of people coming together, are often companies that do extremely well in the stock market, in the private sector, and in the public sector. So that's probably a theory we could put to rest and not one that's based on anything. But it goes to show we're trying to find the answer here, aren't we?
For sure. And there was similar speculation around crypto, which I discussed at length with a New Zealand crypto expert. The bank's connection there is that it is one of the onboards, if you like. It's one of the sort of access ways for crypto to the fiat money system. So everyone's sort of got a theory. What is your take? Whatever the outcome here with SVB, and now there has been a purchase by another bank. What is your commentary, I guess, on risks of flow-on effects into New Zealand? And as we said, it's not just SVB and a couple of other second-tier banks in the United States. Credit Suisse, which is a very big old name, also getting into trouble. And again, we can expect that to happen at certain times in the economic cycle, and certainly where banks are perhaps have not been managing themselves very well or have left themselves exposed to times like this.
I think that's a great question. I think when we hear news like this, we all kind of wonder, well, how does this affect me? I'm the everyday Kiwi. I have money in a bank. I might even have a mortgage. What does this mean? And I think there's two really important factors to remember. With SVB dropping, it's not your everyday commercial bank. Commercial banks are things like, for us, ASB and ANZ. It's a bank that was very unfortunately highly leveraged towards technology companies. Technology companies have done quite poorly in this current climate. There've been huge layoffs, a lot of advertisers pulling out money, and for most tech companies, that's often the way that they make revenue, things like Google, for example. And so what we're seeing is a very specific set of issues that have occurred. The laws in America also became less strict when it came to banking. So after 2008, they had a couple of laws that said, we need to make sure this doesn't happen again. They very, or during Trump's administration, pulled back on some of those laws. And funnily enough, and maybe ironically enough, SVB was one of the banks that pushed to say, these laws are too strict. You're saying we need $50 billion in reserves. We only have 40 billion. That's enough. And so the laws did change. But if you're thinking, well, how does this affect me here? Does this mean that we're going to see banks in New Zealand shut down? Highly unlikely. But does it mean that you should be aware of what kind of bank you're with, what credit rating those banks have, which is one of the ways that you can check to see, how much money you're secured for? And for most people, that's $200,000 or $250,000 or less. I think for the everyday person, not a lot of us have more than that in cash in our bank accounts. And so it's just one of those things where it is very easy to worry and see volatility and act on the fear and pull our money out or change our investments or move our KiwiSaver funds. But I think sometimes the best thing to do is to actually just wait.
It's interesting also the New Zealand effectively a bank levy that will protect the first $100,000, I think it's going to be here in any institution, is on its way as well. And that has been sort of problematic and discussed as to whether it can encourage some risky behaviour, because I think it will go wider actually than the mainstream, so-called mainstream banks, or what we might call our first-tier banks. But that's... It also highlights, Syndrome, just to finish, the kind of the way that mood and herd behaviour happens. It was only 18 months ago we had the lowest interest rates in living memory, 30 years, and everyone was running around, running up enormous mortgages. And now the sense with the implications of higher interest rates and the flow-on effects for the economy. People's mentality is now everything's going to, you know, everything's going to collapse, everything's going to go. We are very flighty creatures when it comes to the fear of losing something. And your point is you've just got to calm down and sort of be careful of the information you're getting and the analysis you're making.
I mean, it is very human nature. For us, losing $100 hurts more than finding $100 on the side of the street. It's just the way we are wired. And so I think I understand that it is easier said than done to say, hey, look, don't panic, don't pull your money out, you know, follow the news and sort of speak to someone if you need to. But if, you know, sometimes the best things are really just waiting, seeing what happens and not reacting quickly, because sometimes you can do more damage that way.
Simran, thank you very much. Simran Kaur is co-host of the podcast Girls That Invest. As always, that discussion of a general nature, it does not constitute financial advice.